This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, January the 31st. The morning after Governor Doyle's State of the State address to the legislature. We heard him here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're getting reaction all morning long to what the governor had to say last night. He unveiled several initiatives in his State of the State address. We heard many of them in our state newscast, but to recap here, banning smoking in public places, bars, restaurants, and workplaces statewide, and increasing the tax on a pack of cigarettes by $1.25. Governor also wants to offer health insurance to 71,000 more adults and every child in the state, regardless of their family's income. He wants to invest $225 million more over the next 2 years in the University of Wisconsin system, designed to graduate more nurses, teachers, and engineers, and more. And we welcome your reaction, your questions to these ideas as we get legislative reaction to these ideas. We will start with Republican reaction. The Republican State Assembly Speaker from West Salem, Mike Hipsch, is our first guest for this first half hour. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Let me welcome in Republican State Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being with us. Your just general assessment of what you heard from the governor last night.
Well, I think the governor had a very good speech and honestly a relatively easy job, because the strength of Wisconsin is good. I mean, the state of the state is strong, and he came out and mentioned as much, and we certainly agree with that, the people in the state, their productivity, their activity clearly has been very strong for Wisconsin, and we're moving forward. There are ways that we can improve that. The governor outlined some of those, and I think that we're looking forward to working with him to try and improve our state and improve ways that we can give people greater opportunity. But, I think overall the best part of the speech, really, and the one that got the first standing ovation, was that right at the top of his speech, he said that we need to cut taxes for Wisconsin's working families. Boy, that is a great first priority in a state of the state speech, and that's something we're going to stand ready to work with him to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. He also wants to increase the tax on a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
Any problems with that?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, yesterday we found out that, you know, our state fiscal bureau gave us the fiscal estimates for the next 2 years, what we expect to see coming into the state. And, you know, as you know, we spend over $50 billion in our state budget right now with federal dollars and what we raise for the state. And the fact is that through the strength of the economy, for the next 2 years, Wisconsin, in the state level, is going to see over $1.25 billion in additional money, simply because of the expansion of our economy. Now, we're already talking about $1.25 billion. The governor really hasn't introduced his budget yet. We don't really know what's in it, and yet he's already talking that he's going to need even more money. I'm skeptical that we need that. What I'm saying is, you know, we need to go and make sure that our programs fit within our taxpayers' ability to pay, rather than making sure all of the taxes cover the programs that we want to do. And that's I think we're going to go forward with as we're about to enter this budget. I don't believe that when we've got $1.25 billion coming in, that we should be talking about raising taxes right now.
Hmm. The headlines in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Wisconsin State Journal this morning: Doyle offers agenda for health care. Health care for all, Doyle says. What do you think of the health care for all proposal?
Well, you know, I listened to your newscast in the beginning, my quote wasn't as articulate as I wanted it to be, but never is on the fly. But really, when you step back and look at health care, one of the biggest problems, he did outline, one of the problems is that we have a number of uninsured in this state, and he wants to make sure that we try to eliminate that. And while that is one of the problems, it is but one of the problems that we have as far as what's driving up health care. Wisconsin actually ranks as, I think, third in the nation as far as covering our citizens. We have some of the best insurance availability for our citizens in the country. And so that's just one. The other one, and frankly, I think a bigger factor, Joy, is that government promises so many different programs and doesn't fund anywhere near what it costs. And so when providers then take government-funded patients and get paid pennies on the dollars of the actual cost, we act surprised that they then pass that cost on to everyone else who's, you know, in a private pay system. That is one of the biggest things we need to try to accomplish in government and in healthcare, and that's making sure that if we are going to, at the government level, provide a program, we have to first of all fund it at the level that is not going to require the provider to pass it on. But more importantly, I think we need to get back to the idea that patients and doctors should be making these decisions, and that Wisconsin citizens, if they're armed and informed with the knowledge and the purchase power, will reform health care on their own through the free market and through their consumer decisions. And that's really, I think, the direction that we would like to go, rather than greater expanded government programs.
Our guest is Mike Hipp. She is a Republican state representative from West Salem. He is the state assembly's speaker, getting his reaction to Governor Doyle's State of the State address last night and the proposals officially unveiled last night. And we're welcoming your questions and your reactions too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock right now on this Wednesday, January 31st, a very cold last day of January. We're getting reaction this hour to Governor Doyle's State of the State address last night. We're getting the legislative reaction, talking in this half hour with Republican Mike Hipsch. And after 7:30, we will welcome in Democrat Judy Robson. And we welcome your thoughts and questions on what the governor had to say last night. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Governor Doyle is calling on the state legislature to take on some pretty big issues. He wants lawmakers to act to provide health insurance for all children in the state of Wisconsin. He wants to increase funding for education, higher education in particular, brought up last night, $225 million for the UW system to graduate more students in some certain fields and to keep tuition increases down. Wants to improve the environment, create a task force on global warming and an office of energy independence for Wisconsin, and many, many other ideas. We're talking about all of them this hour. Let me get from you, Representative or Speaker Hipsch, your reaction to the $225 million for the UW system to graduate more students and keep tuition increases down.
Well, I think he's got a valid goal here, in that really it comes down to the idea that if Wisconsin students want to go to a Wisconsin school, they should have that opportunity, and that's certainly something we agree with. And honestly, Joy, a lot of the things he talked about, we are going to work with him to try and accomplish these things, because there are a number of things that could very well easily improve the status of the state and certainly the quality of life for the people of the state. And so we want to work with them on that. But at the university system especially, making sure that our students have every opportunity to get into those schools is something that really has been a problem for a number of years. I mean, I don't think there's any one of my colleagues that hasn't complained about the fact that either an out-of-state student has taken too many spots at their university, or it's begun to be priced out of reach for some students. And so we recognize that we want to make sure that they have that opportunity, but we also want to know that those students are going to have some commitment there themselves, and that, you know, the idea of the Wisconsin Covenant and having students starting, you know, last night he had three eighth grade students who are committing right now to maintaining a B average and moving forward. You know, it's that type of commitment, that type of drive, and really the investment that they will have in their own education that I think, you know, we all want to see. We all want to foster and hope that moves forward. And so as far as the dollars are concerned, we'll figure out, again, whether or not those dollars are available, but we will certainly work with him on the goal of making sure that students that want to go to University of Wisconsin schools have that opportunity.
Yeah, and your comments on an Office of Energy Independence and $40 million, I think, more for renewable energy and a task force on global warming.
Right. Yeah, well, and I'm not sure if it was on your show, Joy, or one of the others, that, you know, I leaned over to President Risser yesterday, and, you know, the Senate president, and I said, you know, the governor forgot one, and that was nuclear. As you know, that's kind of my baby. I think that nuclear energy is one of the things that we need to go. But, you know, that's kind of a joke, because Governor and I have talked about that in the past.
Right, he didn't really forget that.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't. But the goal is again, builds off of what he said in his inaugural speech, and that is he wants to move away from Middle East dependence on Middle Eastern oil and move more toward Midwestern corn, you know, or Midwestern resources. And that's not a bad idea at all. We definitely need to try to build off or get away from our reliance there. In the Assembly, we are going to be working in the same direction to try and along with the governor, try to come up with a renewable energy policy whereby we can look at things like ethanol and solar and wind and all those others, and honestly it will include some nuclear, but I mean it's a direction that we all recognize Wisconsin could be once again at the forefront for the country as far as trying to wean ourselves off of foreign oil and get to an opportunity where we really can become much more self-sufficient as on energy. And I'll be very interested to finding out the ideas the governor has. We're working on our policy, and I'm sure that we'll be able to work together to try and accomplish some of these goals.
Sounds like you want to work together. Is there anything that he said last night that, in your heart of hearts, you know is going to be a big fight?
Well, I was concerned with health care especially. I mean, that goal is the same. We want to provide health care for everyone and make sure that they have access to it that it's affordable. But as far as expanding government programs to do it, as I said, I think that's one of the biggest problems we have in healthcare is the government programs. What we want to do is get back to consumer-driven and a free market reform in healthcare, and especially the idea that we are going to provide healthcare for every child regardless of the family's income. I mean, really, Joy, as you know, there are people across this state who can't afford healthcare for themselves, middle-class families, small businesses, they can't afford that health care. Now the governor's asking that not only can, you know, they struggle, are they going to struggle with their health care, but their tax money is now going to fund the children of perhaps their very wealthy neighbors. And that is going to be a real battle and a real concern that we're going to have to work through. Again, the goal is the same. We want to make sure that the accessibility and affordability to health care is there for all Wisconsinites. But how we're going to accomplish that, I think, is where we're going to have a great deal of discussion.
Yeah. A caller I was just going to go to dropped off, but I'll pose her question anyway. She is more of a comment. She was saying that she supported the increase in the cigarette tax because she doesn't think it's really so much a source of revenue, nor does the governor think of it as a source of revenue, but that it's a deterrent to a very unhealthy habit.
Right, you know what, and if that's the case, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but if that's the case, we certainly can't build into the budget $500 million increase. I mean, that's the challenge we face. You know, when we talk about raising smoking tax, and Joy, I've voted for that in the past. I mean, we last did this in 2001 when we increased it to 77 cents to fund the senior care program. But we did get some warnings at that point from, I believe it was the Department of Justice who came in and said, you know, and our fiscal bureau who said, look, if you're going to raise that, that's fine. You know, go ahead and you will likely reduce some usage. Of course, we all know that there will be some smokers who will continue to smoke. They're just going to continue to do that. Even the governor admitted that last night. The challenge we have is that as you price that so high, we'll now be over $2 a pack. You now have a situation where, you know, as you know, I live in West Salem, which is in La Crosse County. I can virtually walk to Minnesota from my house. And so people will jump the border all across to find those cheaper cigarettes or take that opportunity. We have Native American smoke shops dotted throughout the state where they'll be able to go and get them cheaper. We have, of course, you know, internet, which is the purchase of those over internet, of cigarettes over the internet, has expanded significantly. And then the last thing that the Department of Justice talked to us about back when we were going to raise this in 2001 is that you're getting close to a point where you're going to create an economic prohibition, not prohibition like we passed, you know, many years ago for alcohol, but one where you've simply priced it to a point where you've created a great incentive for a black market. So all of those factors going into play are going to not only drive down the revenue that we can expect from this, but also likely push people out of the state I still hope that it would reduce teen usage, and it was great to hear that we lead the nation as far as we have fewer teens using cigarettes than ever before. But I think we need to take a very cold, honest look at this proposal and determine whether or not it's going to accomplish the goals we want to see.
John in Beloit is with us now. Hi, John.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me. My comment is about the cigarette tax, and I do support it, and I heard exactly what the representative just said. But kind of one of my things was also thinking about that was, and I wanted to bring up, is I would like to see the tax pushed onto the wholesalers and distributors beforehand in advance. That way it's actually easier to collect, and it's not so much of a problem for the smaller cashier or the small shop owners. The other one I'd like to see is a possibility of a alcohol tax. It's like 5 or 12 cents for a can of beer. And if we were to increase that to about 25 to 45 cents, you'd actually see another increase in revenue of almost a half to three-quarters of $1 billion, and that's including hard liquors and wines. And yeah. I'd also like to see that at the distributor levels also.
Well, thank you, John. I'm sorry, we're running short on time. That was not proposed last night, but we hear that all the time, Mike Hipsch. You know, why not increase the tax on alcohol?
Yeah, it's all of those sin taxes, and basically, mm-hmm. I mean, and the way the process is right now is it does go to the wholesaler, and we do tax through that process, and frankly, that's just passed on to the consumer. Right? It would not change the system that we have right now, but alcohol and beer and cigarettes, all of those have been tried in the past, or have been looked at, and again, we can determine whether or not we want to raise any of those, but as far as alcohol and beer, you know, I've kind of tongue-in-cheek joked in the past it would be easier to raise taxes on milk than it would be beer in this state, because the grassroots simply wouldn't go up, put up with it. But it's certainly one of the things we can look at. But again, let me go back to the top of what I said, Joy, in that we've got over $1.25 billion more money coming into the state. I really don't think we need to be talking about taxes. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out how to live within the taxpayers' means.
Hey, will that grassroots tolerate a ban on smoking in bars in the entire state of Wisconsin?
You know, that's going to be an interesting debate. Joy, and I honestly don't know. I said as soon as the governor proposed it, because you know we in the assembly and the assembly Republicans had a statewide smoking ban that we passed last session. It didn't go as far as the governor's did. We didn't include taverns and some restaurants, but it did have a standard by which we were going to have a smoking ban across the state. And what I've said from the beginning is I'm very interested to watch the public reaction to this, and especially as it goes through the public hearing process. This is a provision that will not be in the governor's budget. It is policy, and he has stuck to his word that he's not going to put policy in the budget. And so this will come through as separate legislation. It will go through that public hearing process, and I'm very anxious to see what the public reaction is going to be to that.
Yeah. At this point, do you side with the Tavern League that wants an exemption for bars?
That's what we voted for last time, and at this point, I do still support that. I think that there should be a point, a location like that, where adults, frankly, can make that decision and go and smoke. But again, I'll be interested and keep a very open mind when we go into this public hearing process to see what people think.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go before our news break. I wonder if there's something from the address last night that we haven't talked about that you think is significant and want to talk about.
Well, I think he talked about so many different things, and I think he has outlined a lot of proposals that could be very good for Wisconsin, but frankly could be very expensive. And again, my hope is that we are going to look at this and figure out the budget and figure out, first of all, how much we have to spend. And that includes what can we take from taxpayers. And we're going to get $1.25 billion more coming in without raising any taxes, without doing any other fee increases. I think that we could try to live within those means. I believe that's the direction we should go. We should also look at reducing that tax burden on the people of the state, as the governor suggested. And I honestly think that we are going to be able to work together on so many of these issues that it could be a very successful 2 years, one that the people of the state could be pleased with. But, it's going to be important that we live within taxpayers' means and get government spending in line with their ability to pay.
Well, maybe we'll talk again after the budget address on, February 13th?
That's right. Great.
Thanks a lot.
You betcha.
Mike Hipsch, Republican State Assembly Speaker from West Salem. We will get Democratic reaction to the State of the State address and proposals coming up after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Wednesday, January the 31st. It's 7:36. And we'll continue getting legislative reaction this hour to Governor Doyle's State of the State address last night. The ambitious State of the State speech drew a mixed reaction along party lines. Republicans questioned how Governor Doyle would pay for some of his proposals, but Democrats praised him for his vision. We will be talking with Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson during this half hour, who is quoted here calling the speech the boldest and most ambitious
Doyle has ever given. She says it outlined his philosophy, dreams, and hopes, and she says she's not worried about how the proposals to expand health care coverage for nearly all residents and all children, how that would be funded. Senate Minority Leader, though, Scott Fitzgerald, said Doyle is living in a state of denial, given that he provided no details about how he will fund these initiatives. Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch, who we talked to in our last half hour, was concerned about the governor's plans to expand government-run health insurance programs. He believes consumers and not the government need to play a bigger role in this. We will talk about the health care proposals and the other proposals that Governor Doyle outlined last night, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions and reactions, too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 1-800-263-1890. I am happy to welcome in Judy Robson, Democratic State Senate Majority Leader from Beloit. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So the headline for you is Doyle offers agenda for health care for all?
Yes, as a registered nurse, I feel that the governor outlined a very bold vision for Wisconsin in providing health care for our children. And that's just basic. You know, most children are healthy, and they need to have at least some health care coverage so they can have a risk assessment on their eyes to make sure their eyes are being aligned so they don't go blind in one eye with what we call the blind eye, or making sure their spine is straight, and that would be picked up, and then they don't become hunched over with scoliosis, and make sure they have good hearing so they do well in school. There's a number of things that we should be providing under health insurance for all our children so that they will be healthy and maintain their health, but also prevent needless complicated illnesses later on that might require an emergency room visit at $250 or $300. And if you don't have insurance, the families have to either make big decisions in their budget about paying for that, or the costs are shifted to those who do have insurance. So there's a lot of sliding that goes on in health care. So I think at the very least, we can help the most vulnerable citizens, our children, to have access to good health care while we work on major health care reform.
We heard from Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch in our last half hour, and he seemed to think that there'd be a lot of common ground that that the legislature, Republicans and Democrats in the legislature, could work on with this proposal, though there was some philosophical differences about whether it should be government-run health insurance programs. You want to talk about that some?
Well, yeah, I think that the governor maximized yesterday in his speech what we do best in Wisconsin, and that's shared with both parties, you know, that we have a rock-solid University of Wisconsin system, we have a rich agricultural heritage, and we want to keep our economy growing by creating new jobs and addressing some of the issues, challenging issues that we face. And so we share those values, and I'm sure we share the same values about making sure that health care is more affordable, that we work on making sure that children have access to health care, while we work on making sure that we improve the quality of health care as well. And the tone was set yesterday with Republicans and Democrats working together. We tackled a pretty controversial issue, ethics reform. It's a very strong proposal, the strongest ethics reform package in the country, and Republicans and Democrats, while we didn't agree on all parts of it, we agreed to work on it, and we compromised, and we passed it almost unanimously yesterday. And I think that sets the tone, and I hope it will set the tone for other things that will be maybe less controversial, that we can work together. Voters expect us to do that.
One thing that the governor did also ask last night is he wanted the legislature to do something about these, what he called, phony issue ads. Do you agree with him?
Republicans and Democrats got up and cheered and clapped very vigorously. Mm. When you have these very vicious negative attack ads, we don't know who's paying for them. We don't know where they're coming from. And they hijack our campaigns. And candidates who are running for office are almost bit players in their own campaign because of the amount of money that comes from these negative ads. We can't curb their ability to speak. That would be a violation of the First Amendment. But what we're saying is we want to know who's paying for them, who is speaking, so we know who is providing the money, and it gives us an idea of what their orientation is. And I think that that will be one of the items that we'll both agree on campaign finance reform.
Yeah. Speaker Hipsch also expected that there would be lively debate, maybe a fight over the increase in the cigarette tax, a $1.25 increase in the cigarette tax. He wasn't so sure that that was needed. Are you?
I think it's needed because cigarettes are the number one cause of poor health. And we know there's a direct correlation to attacks on your heart, lung. It causes cancer. And Big Tobacco has been targeting children 8, 9, and 10 years old for a lifetime of addiction. And it costs all of us a lot of money. I think the governor said about $500 million in our Medicaid budget, which is our government-run program. And we don't know how much it costs the private insurance company because of tobacco addiction and tobacco-related illnesses. So this is a public health strategy. If we increase the cost of cigarettes, then children will not be able to afford to buy cigarettes, and they will not begin a lifetime of addiction. And we have research. It has been documented over and over. When you increase the cigarette tax, kids stop smoking. And then we can use the money to help smokers to stop smoking and also to help pay for some of the smoking-related illnesses that drive up insurance.
I'm going to bring in some callers. Bernie in Whitewater. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. Senator Robson, I've voted for you many times, and I'm a non-smoker, but I wanted to express some strong disagreement with both the proposed smoking ban and the increase in cigarette taxes. I believe that for a government to say that taverns, for example, need to ban smoking is just an extreme overreach of liberty, infringement on liberty, and basically it's anybody's choice whether to work in a tavern or go to a tavern. And as far as the hike in the tax, all sales taxes should be eliminated. They're all regressive and all hurt the poor. No smoking and alcohol taxes, these so-called sin taxes, are disproportionate. And it isn't the minors that are paying the bulk of the cigarette taxes. It's adults. It's already illegal for minors to smoke. So this whole thing to me is just such an infringement on liberty and so completely preposterous. Sales taxes should not be about social engineering.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Bernie, and we're coming up to our weather break, so I want to give the rest of the time to Senator Robson to react.
Well, Bernie brings up one of the arguments, and that'll be part of the robust debate. However, we do know there is a direct correlation to secondhand smoke, and the government has regulated other places when we think that there is going to be an infringement on people's health. We do it with making sure that children have immunization. We have things that we put in place to make sure there's not a spread of infectious diseases. We have people that are required to put on seat belts. We know that there are things, safety issues and public health issues, that need to be regulated so that we can protect the public. And I would be supporting anything that will improve the health of our citizens. And it has happened in other states. We're just not breaking new ground here. California has done that. Even Ireland, which is a real robust tavern and pub state and country, I should say, has banned smoking because of what happens to bartenders, patrons, as well as waitresses. So
yeah.
I think this will, the time is here.
The Tavern League says this is going to drive the mom-and-pop bars in rural northern Wisconsin out of business and just give the bars an exemption. Why not?
Well, I think what we need is a level playing field. More cities are now banning smoking in public places and in taverns and pubs. And I think that they would be craving some uniformity so that you don't have one community that has strict regulation and another community that doesn't. Everybody will know what the rules and regulations are. And big states like California have done that. This is the wave of the future. This is a tsunami that's going across the country. And the time for regulation is here, so there's uniformity. And I think mom and pop pubs would like to have this kind of security of knowing what the rules are so that they aren't in competition with another pub in another city.
We're talking with Judy Robson, Democratic State Senate Majority Leader from Beloit, giving us her take on Governor Doyle's State of the State address last night. He asked the legislature to take on some big issues, including acting to provide health insurance to all children in the state of Wisconsin. He also had some proposals that we've been talking about to ban smoking in public places, including bars and restaurants statewide, increase the tax on a pack of cigarettes by $1.25, We'll talk more about increases in funding for education and initiatives to improve the environment and increase renewable energy in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your thoughts and reactions to these proposals. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.